Now we come to the gospel, which is the heart of the message of the Word of God. But the other readings have prepared us to see under which angle we're supposed to preach the gospel. What we have here, as we often have, and we'll have it in the first Sunday of Lent as well, it's a perspective gospel. It talks about the fact that everything ends. We hardly remember that about our own life, but everything ends. It's finite. It's not going to go on forever. And so we have this text. It's in all the synoptics in various forms. Commentators are trying to figure out whether Matthew and Luke had Mark or whether they just had an oral tradition. For what we're going to do, it won't make any difference. This is the word of Jesus himself. And he's talking about two things. This whole text begins, Matthew 24, with the disciples saying, wow, Lord, look at this temple. It's great. And Jesus says, I tell you, there won't be one stone left on another. It'll be all thrown down. Now, what's he saying? That's the temple. It means this mode of days, consecrated, made holy, full of sanctity, is going to be raised to another level, and this is over. Now, he said that sometime in the year 30-something. It was destroyed in the year 70, and it's still destroyed. There's a mosque there now, the Mosque of Aqsa, and so forth. But those days are over, but not the beauty of them. And we need to understand those days in order to understand Christ. You know, as I just read, I think, this text from Luke, you see, where he instructed the disciples about all the scriptures that talked about him. In the New Testament, the Old Testament, talked about him. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And if he was with them for 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension, this is what he was teaching them. This is how Peter could preach a magnificent sermon on the day of Pentecost. All of that was enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And he could preach and quote Psalm 16 and go, he's a fisherman. Jesus instructed him, and the Holy Spirit brought everything to mind that he had said to them. And Jesus promised that, if you remember. So we have this text then, you see, which talks about the temple and the world. Because you see, when the temple ends, we're at the end of days. It's over. Not the wonder of Judaism, but the dispensation is now brought to another level. It's not done away with. It exists now. It's amazing. For instance, I'll give you one example. Aquinas has a marvelous section in his Summa. Nobody else has this kind of thing. He comments on the whole sacrificial system of the Jewish people. First saying, it was real. It meant something then. It wasn't just prefiguration. But it is prefiguration. And so he has this text. In the state of the blessed, then, nothing in regard to worship of God will be figurative. When? In the state of the blessed. We don't have, if you remember that text that I used from Hebrews 10, we don't have a sketch. We have an icon. But there's still the reality. You see? It says that text, not the icon of the pragmaton, the realities. The realities, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the saints, the angels. That's it. And so, this text from the Gospel reminds us that our existence has a limit. This way of living, but not this way of existing. This temple, which Herod built, and, you know, and the one before it, they're all destroyed. Not my love for you, but this way of living, this way of obeying me. You see? And that's what he's saying. Now, it's also the end of the world, because everything we have is going to run out of gas too. You know, St. Catherine of Siena, whenever she received the Eucharist, she used to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But how long do we have to keep this up in sin? I want to see you. I want to be with you." And that's what this text is for. It's a text of hope. So it goes, I lost my text, but I'll find it. Hang on. What happened to that text? Anyway, I'll read it from here. I like the other one a little bit better, but okay. It starts with verse 37. You see, for as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the day coming of the Son of Man. Which coming? He visited Jerusalem, and it was destroyed. Or does he mean not only the end of that era, the end of those days, but the end of all days? So there are no more days. Therefore, between the two of them, you see, the imagery tends to oscillate. Sometimes he's talking about the end of these days, sometimes he's talking about the end of all days. But for us, we're living in this time of icon, but our living in time of icon has a limit. We're going to die. This isn't it. There's more. And that's why the text before it, let's get out of debauchery and licentiousness and gluttony, and let's live now at the end of days. That's the whole meaning of celibacy. So, what we have here now is this text to help the people meditate not only on their death, but on heaven. And that is the work of hope. Advent is the season of hope. We're waiting for God to do something. This isn't just a theater piece. You know, let's pretend Jesus is coming. No, we don't have to pretend anything. We have to enter into the liturgical life in faith, and he comes. And when Christmas is here, there is a new presence of Christ to the world through the church. That's what it's all about. And so, the more we can be prepared and help our people be prepared, you see, then, when we read these texts at Christmas, "I proclaim to you good tidings of great joy. Today there's born for you. Today there's born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Yes, it happened. But today it happens. In your heart, in your home, in the world. Do you see the battle we've got? Most of the world doesn't even know about it. And what we got is war. So, this text is saying then, it's this lovely image, okay? In the days of Noah, it will be the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, all good things. All good things. They did not know until the flood came. The problem was They were absorbed by these good things. And they weren't listening to the rest of the Word of God. I've got more for you. Live the way I've told you to live. I've got more for you. And so, this happens in every life. That the Lord, just like St. Anthony, just like St. Augustine, this Word of God can penetrate you and change you. And this happens in the preaching. The Word of God is so powerful that, as Aquinas says, it can scatter the tangled mass of sins and demons. And this happens, he says, frequently in sermons. I've seen some of this in my own life. It's true. And I know people who have been healed when a priest was preaching. Why? Especially of deafness. Because it's God's audiovisual aid. I mean it, my people. You listen to me. I can change you. And so we have this text that talks about limit. Two men out in a field, see, one will be taken and one will be left. One will be brought with Christ and the other will be left. And the image there, the suffering, yes, like the temple time, but much worse. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken to Christ. The other will be left. For you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Not only at your death. When does he want to visit you and bless you? When does he want to call you from sin? When does he want to do something for you that he did for Augustine? Why not? Why not? It's the same Lord. It's the same Son of God. It's the same Word. And so you see, we're moving into the time of hope. Now I hope for eternal life. To be with God, you know, so that the eternal Trinitarian life it replaces my life and I live body and soul by the life of the Trinity. That's what I look forward to. But I don't look forward on my own merits. I look forward on the mercy of God. But it's by God's infusion that I have the grace of hope and can live this hope. Look forward to it, base my life on it, change, let him change me, because I want to see him. Teresa of Avila said the same thing. I want to see God. There's an end to this these days, because there's new days that never end. And so, write down the three things you hope for. And one of them should be eternal life. Eternal life. Don't take it for granted. You just heard the Lord himself say, one's going to be taken and one's going to be left. If you're in sin, get out of it. Don't wait. This very first Sunday in Lent, in Advent, is to help you get ready for the presence of Christ. And we'll talk about that next time. The mysterious, mystical presence of Christ in the church and through the church to the world.